Heavenly Father, again, we're thankful to be here today to be able to record this Christmas story. And we just trust that you and your family are doing well. And we just ask the Lord's blessing upon your family to keep you safe during this season. And we wish you all a very Merry Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus' birth is described twice in the Bible, in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. And when we compare these two reports, we see that they just don't agree on every point. There's really no contradiction. There are different sequences of events, but it's the same Christmas story, and they do not contradict each other, not in the least. And that's what I'm going to make an attempt to do today, is to share with you the sequence of events of the actual Christmas story. Matthew writes about things in his gospel that Luke doesn't mention, and of course, vice versa. So my goal today is to combine these accounts from the Gospels of Matthew and Luke to present one timeline for the Christmas story. And so we'll begin with the annunciation of our Jesus' birth in the Gospel of Luke. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. We read that from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. The theme of my message today is from Nazareth to Nazareth. Luke confirms that Mary lived in Nazareth and that the angel appeared to her there. Our first step is that Jesus' birth is announced to Mary in Nazareth before she even becomes pregnant. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus, Luke 1:31. Mary wasn't yet pregnant when the angel appeared, but the Holy Spirit came over Mary and she became pregnant. And as a result of her trust in the Lord, this was her words. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Verse 38 of Luke 1. The angel then appeared to Joseph when Mary was already pregnant. And we read the Gospel of Matthew, since Luke doesn't mention Joseph, who was taken completely by surprise. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. When it says that Joseph was minded to put her away privately, it means that at some point he had noticed his fiancée's pregnancy. And only then did an angel appear to him. And it suggests that Mary's visit to Elizabeth, which only Luke, by the way, reports, took place when Joseph wasn't yet aware of the pregnancy. So it could have happened as follows. The birth is announced to Mary, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and after her words, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, she becomes pregnant. And this is followed by a visit to Elizabeth, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 39. And finally, in verse 56, it says that Mary abode with her for about 3 months and returned to her own house. So it means that Mary returns to Nazareth, 3 months pregnant, and doesn't know how her loyal fiancé is going to react to these circumstances. So the risk of being stoned as a harlot, or an adulteress, or at least being cast out. And so the visibly shocked Joseph wants to separate from Mary. The angel appears to him with these words, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, Matthew 1:20. And so this would be the second step in our series of events. An angel in Nazareth announced that Jesus' imminent birth to Joseph. And so that brings us to the Lord's birth and where he was born. In Nazareth? No, as not many would assume that since they lived there. But it was prophesied that the Lord's birth needed to take place in Bethlehem, just as God had willed it and as the prophets foretold. So now we leave Nazareth temporarily and we come to Bethlehem. This would be the third step, the birth of our Lord in Bethlehem, and Luke explains to us how it happened. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. This is Luke's account, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. So we see that Mary and Joseph are leaving Nazareth. They are traveling to Bethlehem. This is a distance of about 80 miles, and it's through mountainous terrain. Luke didn't write by mistake that he penned these words. They went up from Galilee. So it was no flat stretch. In fact, it was very mountainous and hard to travel. And we got to understand that Mary was also heavenly pregnant when she and Joseph undertook this trek. And they would have been en route for about a week. And according to the prediction of Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." So on the very evening of our Lord's birth, an angel appeared to the shepherds in the field. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. This would be our fourth step, the shepherds at the manger. So now up until this point, everything has seemed pretty fairly easy to trace. Luke has given us a nice chronological overview, but Luke doesn't give us a complete report. And so instead, he leaves Matthew to supplement what he doesn't cover. And for example, we have there the events with the so-called wise men, or as they were referred to as the Magi from the East. And so we need to return to the Gospel of Matthew. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Matthew 2, 1 and 2. That would be our fifth step. The wise men see a star and they go on to journey toward Jerusalem. Now, what we don't know is when the wise men really started their trip. Did they set off immediately after this heavenly appearance? Was it the following day? Or did they make inquiries about this extraordinary star? If in any case, they would need time to prepare to undertake such a long journey. The star lights up for the wise men to guide them to the birth of Jesus. This is a good 620 miles away. And so they need to make this long journey to Jerusalem because they were expecting the newborn king of the Jews. So now we need to return to Luke's account. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb, Luke 2:21. Mary and Joseph are still in Bethlehem, probably now no longer in a stable. They might have perhaps found normal accommodations in Bethlehem since Joseph was from Bethlehem and he would have relatives there, so it would be easy for him to find such accommodations. And until the child is circumcised, which the law required. So that brings us to the sixth step, our Lord Jesus' circumcision in Bethlehem, While the wise men from the east have set out to pay their respects to the newborn king of the Jews. So next we read, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. This would be our seventh step, the offering of our Lord Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem to fulfill the command in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. About the 40 days, Mary and Joseph went to Jerusalem, which is about 6 miles from Bethlehem. It means that Mary and Joseph would have stayed in Bethlehem for at least 40 days. It means that all their relatives, the grandmas and grandpas and anyone else, 80 miles away in Nazareth, still haven't seen baby Jesus yet. But after 40 days, the family is in Jerusalem. The wise men from the east are somewhere probably along the Euphrates, still haven't arrived to Bethlehem yet. So we read further in Luke's gospel. We see that Mary and Joseph returned to Nazareth from Jerusalem with their child. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city of Nazareth, Luke chapter 2 and verse 39. Home at last, finally home, back in their city. Finally, the waiting relatives can embrace the young family and shower them with gifts. But something still missing. What about the Magi from the east? Did they not accomplish their goal? Wasn't there still the infanticide in Bethlehem and an escape to Egypt? So when and how did this take place? As I said, we could assume from Luke's account that the family returned to Nazareth from Jerusalem. According to Matthew, however, it appears that the family didn't return until much later. So we want to shed some more light on this. If only we had Luke's gospel, we would have to assume the family returned to Nazareth after Jesus' circumcision and his presentation. So our first scenario would be this. If that was the case, then Jesus' family would have returned to Bethlehem at some point before the Magi worshiped him there. And that, of course, hadn't occurred yet. So before we go down this path, I want to briefly look at another scenario. One where the family had went back to Bethlehem instead of Nazareth. These events that were reported by Matthew would have taken place between the statements in Luke 2:39 when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord. And then we have the gap, the events that Luke, by the way, skips. And it continues with, and they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. It means that Mary and Joseph would have returned to Bethlehem from Jerusalem with their six-week-old child. And perhaps maybe they intended to settle for a little time in Bethlehem. The family made their way from Jerusalem to Nazareth, the city where Mary and Joseph had originally lived and where their parents and relatives were longing for their return. During this time, the wise men from the east were still on a long trek toward Jerusalem. Jesus' family is living in Nazareth again, and it's been almost 2 months since the Lord has been born. In Luke 2:41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Mary and Joseph made their way to Jerusalem at least once a year. There were 3 pilgrimage festivals for which devout Jews would attend in Jerusalem: the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Weeks, and the Passover, which is the one that is mentioned here. A few months after their arrival in Nazareth, the family went back to Jerusalem, either for the Passover festival or maybe for one of the other pilgrimage festivals. It's well over 60 miles from Nazareth to Jerusalem. It would require more than just a day to travel. Jerusalem must have been quite overcrowded during these festivals, so it's more than likely that Mary and Joseph probably made their home in Bethlehem. Joseph would have been able to arrange lodgings because his relatives were there. And so in this scenario, Jesus' family would have arrived back in Bethlehem in connection with their visit to the Passover festival. This would be steps 8 and 9, the return to Nazareth. and then their new departure for Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And so now we need to return to Matthew's gospel, what Luke doesn't talk about. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Matthew 2, 7, verses 7 and 9. Notice, no longer a baby, but where the young child was. As mentioned before, we don't know when the wise men set out, nor when they arrived in Jerusalem or Bethlehem, but we can certainly assume they came from the region of Babylon or Persia, which means it would have taken at least a year and a half to reach Jerusalem. And so that would line up both with the first possibility, this first scenario, according to which Jesus' family arrived and lived in Bethlehem because Joseph had settled there, as well as our second scenario, which the Lord Jesus would have been between 6 and 18 months old when the Magi finally arrived in Bethlehem, depending on which pilgrimage the festival of the family was visiting. So in either case, what happened next is very clear. The Lord Jesus was no longer in a manger. He also couldn't have been more than 2 years old when the Magi visited him. And when they were coming into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, Matthew 2:11. This would be the 10th step. No stable, no cave, no nativity scene, no shepherds here. The wise men were never at the manger. They never met the shepherd. Jesus' family was now living in a house, not at the manger at the time. We also learn from verse 16 that Herod wanted all the boys that were 2 years and younger to be killed. And as a result, Herod's fit arranged, we had the flight into Egypt that took place. This would be step 11, the flight into Egypt. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Arise and take the young child with his mother and flee to Egypt. Be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son," Matthew 2, verses 13 through 15. So the stay in Egypt was an integral part of God's plan of salvation, just as it was predicted that the birth of the Lord Jesus would be through a virgin, just as it was prophesied that the promised Redeemer would come from the tribe of Judah and from David's family, and just as the birth in Bethlehem was prophesied. And as it says in Hosea 11:1, "Called my son out of Egypt." We see here God leaves nothing to chance. That should be an encouragement for us today as well. We can be certain that we're not left to chance or fate, but we are surrounded by the goodness and the love of God. So how did Paul say it in Philippians 3:8? "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." In other words, without Jesus, I have nothing. And stated in reverse, the word from 2 Corinthians 6:10 still applies, having nothing and yet possessing all things. Back to Egypt. How long Joseph and his Mary remained isn't stated for us, but history tells us that Herod died only a short time later. With his death, the return to Israel took place, so their stay in Egypt wouldn't have lasted very long. Only now does the Gospel of Matthew report that Mary and Joseph settled in Nazareth again. This would be the 12th step. The return to Nazareth. This is either the first since the Lord Jesus' birth, or maybe after as much as possibly 2 years, or another return after having attended the Passover festival in the meantime. And this is what we read. "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life.' And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. The wording of verse 22 strongly suggests that Joseph and his family didn't want to go to Nazareth, but to Bethlehem. And so, as it states, he was afraid to go to Judea or Bethlehem because Archelaus ruled there. It was only because of a dream that Joseph moved back to Nazareth. It's very likely that Joseph wanted to settle in Bethlehem or had already done so. But God once again made sure that Mary and Joseph had to leave Nazareth and go to Bethlehem. Now, be made sure that Mary and Joseph didn't return there, but instead returned to Nazareth. That too was part of God's plan of salvation, as it is written, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, that he shall be called a Nazarene. And so with that, we're back in Nazareth. From Nazareth to Nazareth. We can see that the word doesn't contradict itself, but instead, it's a very unique revelation from God to us. The Lord's entire plan of salvation runs through the Bible like a guiding thread. It is we who constantly contradict each other. God doesn't contradict himself. His words are clear. They're true and they're precise. They're unique. They're sovereign. They're omnipotent and they're unshakable. It's fascinating how God achieves his objective with his word and his plan of salvation. He caused a Roman emperor to order a census at precisely the right moment, which ultimately led to the Lord Jesus being born in the right place at the right time. He uses vain and fearsome tyrant named Herod to see to it that the word is fulfilled. I called my son out of Egypt. God uses a man of power named Archelaus, no less cruel than his father, to ensure that Jesus doesn't grow up in Bethlehem, but in Nazareth, so that he can be called a Nazarene. Nothing happens by chance, because of heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word remains forever, Matthew 24 and 35. And so from firm trust in his word, we can conclude with 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause, also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth in the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Heavenly Father, thank you again for our time together today. And again, we ask you to be with each and every family this Christmas time. We've had a difficult year, and we just pray, Father, for your wonderful hope and peace that passes all understanding, that you will give it to each and every one of us. For Lord, we know that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. For our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. So we thank and praise you for all that you do for us and what you've done for this wonderful year that's coming to a close. We give thee praise, we give thee glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.